Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, as promised, Tim Staples. And I tell you what, we really do like with when Tim's here, this is something we'd like to do more of, is why aren't you Christian? And so if you're not a Christian, you know, you hear us do the why aren't you Catholic, this is like one degree harder. And so you get Tim Staples to do that. Tim Staples, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. If you're not a Christian and you'd like to, if you're willing to tell us, why aren't you Christian? 888-318-7884 is the number. Just dial. We'd love to talk with you. And I know you're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Maybe you're driving. Maybe this is the first time. Maybe we really like talking about these things. And so you're doing us a favor if you call and make it possible for us to have these conversations. You want to tell us you don't believe in God. You can't believe that Jesus is God. Maybe you want to tell us Jesus never existed. You got to be a million other things. Maybe you don't even, you have no sense of why would I? Maybe you could call up and go, well, why would I be a Christian? Whatever it is. 888-318-7884. Tim is a long time Catholic apologist. I say that, but he's not that old. All right,
you're older than I am, pal.
I know, that is the truth. I am 2 weeks older than Tim Staples. So,
and I always remind him of that.
neither of us is young. All right, let's put it that way. But he's been doing this for a long time, and he's the author of "Behold Your Mother: A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines." Thanks for coming, Tim.
It is great to be with you, my brother.
Thank you. And I'm going to start off with a question that we hear from non-Christians. I am still a Christian. I want you to know that.
Okay.
All right. So,
but there was some question around the office.
My behavior that might not always pass muster, but I still profess the faith. I haven't I don't think I've apostatized yet.
No, so, you would know it if you apostatized.
Because you do know that, right? That's not something you do and go, I'm not sure if I.
That's right. Because that's something that you declare.
I reject the faith.
Exactly.
Okay. And I have not done that. And God, please preserve me. That's all I'd say about that.
Yes.
All right. So Christians come to other people and we offer salvation. Christianity is this religion of salvation.
Right.
But I have to be honest with you, and I want to ask you this as if I were not a Christian.
Yes.
What if I don't feel like I got anything to be saved from?
Oh,
why
yes.
would I be interested in Christianity?
That is a great question, Cy. And it's actually... folks would be surprised how common we get that when you're in discussions with folks who are skeptics. Like, what is this salvation stuff? I don't need to be saved, right? But I think the way to approach that, and I've done it many times. I can think of a particular conversation I had many years ago down this sort of trajectory, is you start with what virtually everyone agrees with. Now, you might have some crazy antinomian who will attempt to argue that I don't believe anything is wrong, you know, and this or that. And then you take that there's a different approach for that. But generally speaking, everybody acknowledges that things like lying are bad, right?
Yes.
Do you agree, my friend? And really, Cy, I think in whatever the conversation is we're involved with, whomever we are speaking, or with whomever we are speaking, you really do have to get to that sort of foundation. You know, like Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well, you got to start with a conversation and you know.
Yes, okay.
Give me a drink of water. You got to start with a conversation, but then you got to find some sort of level playing field to where we can agree, let's start here. And I find this to be a good place to start. You say, well, do you agree that lying is wrong? Well, yeah, of course, lying is wrong. Well, let's think about that a little bit, okay? Lying is wrong. What does lying do? Lying destroys. And Cy, we know sin in general does this, but we focus here on lying. And you can talk about your relationship with your wife,
mm-hmm.
in a family setting, siblings lying. You can take it up a notch, culture-wide, what happens with the lie. Let's say we lie, we perjure. Let's say we have a culture of liars to where, my goodness, the whole judicial system becomes undermined because of a lie. So a good place to start is just to take a look at, the lie and then this concept of sin. And what happens? What happens when we lie? Lying destroys relationships, be it individuals, in marriage, siblings, in everything we've talked about. Culture-wide, you're destroying relationships, and you can destroy institutions. Why? Because you choose to lie, and some lies are worse than others, right? And from there, we can take it up a notch and say, well, look, okay, what happens when you lie? You break a relationship. How can you heal a relationship like that? Well, it usually starts with, wasn't it Don Henley, that forgiveness?
Oh, yeah.
Forgiveness.
Yes, that was Don Henley. I think other people have said it, but yes, Don Henley was one of them.
Yeah, a couple of others have said it. Right. But, you know, he's trying to get down, right?
To forgiveness.
To the bottom. What is he trying to get down? To the heart of the matter, right?
Right.
And it's forgiveness. Why? Because forgiveness heals these broken relationships. It can, and you begin to reestablish a relationship to where you can heal individuals, families, cultures, and so forth. Well, if we can, just on a natural level, me and my atheist friend talk about this in human relationships, well, why would it be any different with our relationship with God? Why do we think we can just blaspheme against God? We can lie. We can contradict his law and so forth that he's established for our good. And we think, oh, but that won't break that relationship. Why? Why? Well, of course it will. Because if God is good and loving, he cannot allow us to continue to hurt ourselves because I should have said that from the outset. Who we're hurting is ultimately ourselves as well as those we're in relationships with. You're hurting yourself. Now, in the relationship with God, you're not going to hurt God, all right? God is not hurt by our law. Like we do hurt those whom we love and culturally and so forth. No, you're not going to hurt God. But we certainly hurt ourselves. We wound ourselves terribly. And we break the relationship with God, which is the most important relationship of all. So why do I need to be saved? Because I mess up and I break my relationship with God because of my sins. Now, we only talked about lying, but you can talk about any sin you want to. And sins really do destroy. They wreak havoc on our relationship with God. And the good news is that God loves us. And not only does he want to forgive us, Cy Kellett, but he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross so that we can not only be forgiven, but restored by sanctifying grace to a supernatural relationship with him that's beyond anything we can fathom. We experience it here, this side of the veil, by receiving the sacraments, going to confession, being baptized, of course. And then with post-baptismal sins, we go to confession. It's to be forgiven, but man, more than just forgiveness, Jesus gives us power. He gives us grace to transform us from the inside out so that we can really experience the joy, the love that comes from healing our relationship with God and one another. You talk about a win-win, brother.
Yeah,
a win-win. Right. When we come to God and all we have to do is acknowledge what really all civilizations, folks, if you think about it, down through history, we can look back not just at the Judeo-Christian religion, but the ancient religions where you have priests and sacrifices and such. All of mankind throughout history has known, if not overtly, intuitively, that we've sinned against God. And all the world's religions are an attempt to restore a relationship with the God that we have broken relations with. That's what it's all about. So do I need to be saved? You better believe it. Every one of us, because we are all sinners.
That's wonderful, Tim. And it's amazing that, you have to do that whole... It does seem to me that most people for most of history intuited I've broken this relationship. We've broken this relationship. We need priests. We need sacrifice.
Yes.
But the modern person doesn't intuit it anymore. It's like something got switched off in the modern mind where we think, I don't need any salvation.
Yeah, and you know what? I prefer to say, no, it's not that something got switched off. It's that the modern era is so loud you can't hear it anymore.
We just distract ourselves from it.
I would say the last 50, 60 years has been so extraordinary. We could go back further, but in a particular way, the last 50, 60 years, we have mastered noise, loudness. We can distract ourselves in the most incredible ways. But you know what, folks? No matter how much we do it, and we do it in lots of different ways, it can be sex, it can be drugs, alcohol, we try music, literal noise, because the modern mind, the worst thing in the world that can happen to the modern mind apart from God is silence.
Yeah.
Because once silence gets here, it's like, oh no, right? I don't like myself very much. Give me noise.
Yeah.
Give me noise. And why? Why is there that sort of that moderate? And why do we see this phenomenon of suicide in our age? And the numbers bear this out, Cy, in recent years. The numbers of suicides, it's startling.
I know.
What's happening, and it's happening a lot with the young and so forth. Why is that? Because they don't know their ultimate purpose, or they're running from it. And when you do have those silent moments, you don't like what you are experiencing, and it can turn to despair. You can either turn to God for the answer to what ails you, because you are made, you and I, Cy, our intellects are made to know God. Our wills are made to love God. That is the ultimate, and of course, all things in right relationship with God, ordered by right reason. But the point is, because our intellects and wills are made to know and love God, if we're not doing that, we're ultimately going to be miserable. Why else, Cy Kellett, do you have so many in Hollywood who get, quote unquote, everything, right?
Yeah.
They have all the money in the world. They have everything. Everything's at their whim. And what do they end up with? Drugs, alcohol, suicide, and just killing themselves. Why? Because they're trying, I would argue, Cy, they're trying to fill that God-sized hole, as it's been said. I don't know who first said that, but St. Augustine said it so famously, and not quite those words, that our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, right? Our hearts are made for you, he says, of God. And our hearts remain restless until they rest in thee. And if you try to, because we have that God-sized hole, and what does that mean, a God-sized hole? Our minds are ordered to know the infinite who is God. And our wills are ordered to know the infinite. And so the finite can never satisfy us.
Right.
It is impossible. And so no matter how much you get, you find that ain't
enough.
It
yeah, right, right.
Until you experience the infinite God in your soul.
Tim Staples is our guest. Hey, really, we're quite serious. If you're not a Christian, we don't have calls on yet, and so I would like to encourage non-Christians, if you're not a Christian and you're willing to tell us why aren't you Christian, we can have a long conversation, we can have a short conversation, whatever you'd like. Just give us a call, 888-318-7884.
Folks being shy, come on, give us a call.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
They're going to put us on.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately?
Catholic
Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Apparently, our Christianity demands humility, it demands compassion, demands that you love and pray for your enemy. We don't like that too much either.
Mother Angelica Live Classics, every morning, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples is our guest. He's senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. And if you want to talk about why you don't believe in God, why you don't believe in Jesus or the Bible or the whatever, if you're not a Christian, this hour has been entirely reserved for you. So we are depending on you for our content. Just one call on right now. So we're looking for more calls. And we've got the time to talk with you. 888-318-7884.
You know, and I'd like to ask some folks questions too, if I could do that.
Yeah. Well,
I'd like to ask folks listening right now. I'm really amazed. I like talking with atheists and you usually find out they're not atheists, they're more agnostics. I find very, very few to be true atheists that can say, I know there is no God and this is why.
Right, right.
Right. Very few. And it's usually the problem of evil, even if they attempt that. But there's not really a proof against God's existence so much as there is, well, I just don't believe it. I don't buy it. Kind of the Bill Maher sort of thing. Maybe there's some power out there, but I'm not buying this God of the Old and New Testament.
I know, like
stuff.
Someone's trying to trick them. And they're just too clever for it.
The spaghetti, flying spaghetti monster.
All that stuff.
And all that. But, you know, I like to kind of flip things a bit and ask the question, how in the world can you explain Cy Kellett sitting here right now?
Good luck.
With roughly, you know, the adult human has about between 14 and 21 trillion cells. So I'm looking at a conglomerate here of about, well, in Cy's case, it's more 22 trillion. So, and that's me too. That's me too, as I just said during the break.
And it's so funny when you said the number of cells, I was like, add a third to that.
No, but when you look at, you know, and this is not a classic proof for the existence of God. And we have proofs for the existence of God, like St. Thomas Aquinas' classic 5 proofs. And they are that. But these are more like pointers. You know, when you look at creation, and it demands a creator, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1. The creation simply demands a creator. Or 21 trillion cells, let's say, in the human body, and how each one of those cells works together with the other cells. And you add to that the fact that most of those cells contain inside a microscopic little DNA molecule, right?
Yeah.
Almost all of our cells, except for things like platelets, red blood cells, and like fingernails, or at least the outer part of fingernails and hair and things like that that don't have, the overwhelming majority of cells in your body contain a microscopic computer program that is a 4-letter, that's twice the number of letters that our computers are based on, right? We have a binary language, basically.
Yeah.
It's a 4-letter computer program for life inside each one, let's just say, of those 21 trillion. Maybe we minus a few billion, okay? And they work together so absolutely perfect that the slightest little foul up here and that program causes either death or catastrophic problems in that being. So I want to ask folks, how in the world can somebody say to me and keep a straight face that was ultimately caused by an explosion, right? Without any direction whatsoever.
No, explosion just organized itself into trillions of cells.
That's sitting right here talking to me right now.
That now thinks and feels.
And so, I mean, I know, and some will say, oh, you're being simplistic. Yes, I am, because that is simply unexplainable. Now, we can get into the proofs for the existence of God and the fact that the God who created all this, because ultimately, when you look at arguments like this, you know, this is doesn't prove that God is absolute being, you know, the uncaused cause, unmoved mover. He could just be a super powerful, you know, sort of dude. Right. Out there that just did something that's absolutely incredible. I mean, you got to do more to prove God's sure. existence, but it's a good start, Si.
Right, right. A sense of wonder at this doesn't look random. This doesn't look like I'm just riding on the edge of an explosion and I'm an accident. All right, now people are starting to call. You want to take some
yes,
calls?
Yes, let's
right.
do it.
Let's go to Cape Coral, Florida. We'll start in Cape Coral, Florida today, where Todd is listening on Catholic Answers, or excuse me, Catholic.com. Welcome, Todd. We're really grateful that you called, and we're asking, why aren't you Christian? So why aren't you Christian, Todd?
All right, well, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, sure.
I guess for whatever background is necessary on this or helpful on this, mm-hmm. is, you know, religion wasn't necessarily discussed a whole lot in the house where I was growing up.
Okay.
So
okay.
That just, you know, starting point there. And, you know, grew up, became an adult, never really gave any thought to it. I have, in one form or another, had kind of health issues pretty well all my life. And, well, the phrase I've used before is you can't exactly call God the divine physician and not expect somebody to come knocking for just that.
Right.
I know that's not the reason you're supposed to look, but that's what started me.
Sure.
And so start looking into religion and, you know, hear a lot of talk about, okay, relationship with God and relationship with Jesus, and that's obviously a very large component of things.
Right.
But the, you know, when I hear, you know, more specifics as to what that relationship is, it's like, okay, hang on, sacraments, confession, Eucharist, all this stuff that is all
right.
100% contingent, as far as I can tell, on pre-existing faith, which I would not feel in any way comfortable saying that I have.
Right.
So it's kind of like, okay, hang on.
Yeah.
For the thing that's going to say that there is a God that loves me personally and wants to have some sort of personal relationship with me, I have to assume a thing that I cannot make myself think.
Very good.
For that to happen, and then if it, you know, if somehow I'm able to do that, or I suppose the Catholic or Christian position would be that God enables me to do that, because my understanding is faith is a gift from God. I forgive me if I'm wrong on that, but
oh no, it is.
and so it's like okay, it's kind of that gap of everyone talks relationship.
Yeah,
I do not see anything that I would be comfortable saying. Oh, that's a relationship.
Right. Gotcha. Well, let me jump in, Todd. Yeah, I mean, you've raised a number of really, I think, important things. In fact, you remind me of my teen years. Just so you know, Todd, I had a very rebellious, really beginning in my early teens, and called myself an atheist. And I can remember ridiculing my father because he always maintained his faith in God, and I used to laugh at it. So, you need a crutch or whatever. I'm not buying this stuff. But one thing that really helped me, Todd, was in those teen years, I did start delving in. I was always interested because I was raised in a home where my father and my mother did have faith. My father was a Southern Methodist. My mother was a Baptist, and she took us to the Baptist church, and I accepted Jesus when I was 10. I rejected it when I was 12. I didn't last very long, so Todd, I didn't last that long. But I did always maintain a sort of intrigue. So I did start reading, and I actually had a history teacher that, in my actually junior high years, who got me interested in reading. And so I did. I read a little bit about, you know, who is this Buddha guy? And, you know, what is Hinduism and a little bit of Islam and that sort of thing. And I have to say, I always maintained intellectually, you know, there is something about this Jesus guy. But I didn't believe. And so years later, that would come back, Todd. And I read a book not long ago by a fellow named Dr. Anthony Flew. And he was probably the most famous atheist, intellectual atheist of the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. He was a fascinating man. And he wrote a book, There Is a God. And it's a fascinating book because he was an atheist. And in that book, he chronicles how he journeyed toward and then accepted the reality of God. When we come back from the break, Todd, I want to just share you with you a few things. He kind of was me on steroids because I was just a dabbling as a kid. But I want to share with you how he was kind of me on steroids after
the break.
Right
after this. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Do you have what it takes to defend your Catholic faith? The work of apologetics takes study, practice, and skill. But more than anything, it takes spiritual strength. The Soul of Apologetics, a new prayer resource from Catholic Answers, gives you the spiritual tools every Catholic apologist needs: prayers, meditations, and scripture-based reflections to build up the interior life. Order your copy of The Soul of Apologetics today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples is our guest, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. And Tim actually told us, and we agreed with him, it's a lot of fun when we take the time to talk to non-Christians.
Yes.
And so you volunteered for this task.
I did.
And we were happy to take you up on it. And now we've got a whole bunch of people on the line.
Yeah.
And in fairness, it took a little while to convince folks, maybe because they're not Christians, they're calling a Christian radio show. So that's fair, but we'll try to get to everybody. Back to Todd in Cape Coral, Florida.
Yeah. So Todd, just to pick up where we left off, when I read Flew's book, he reminded of me in my teen years, but of course he was an intellectual giant. And so I recommend the book highly to you. Check it out. There Is a God. And a little history to that title. Way back in the 1940s, he wrote a book. I think it began as an article and became a book, There Is No God. And that was his atheistic presentation on why there is no God. And so all those years later, like 60 plus years later, he wrote the book, There Is a God. But the way when you get the book, it's the book is There Is No God, but the no is struck out and A is right in front of, right over top of it.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the title.
Oh, got it. Okay, good. Yeah.
It's a fascinating book.
I see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, but Todd, here's the gist of it. When Dr. Anthony Flew, who's a brilliant man, a lot smarter than I am, I'll tell you that. He was a brilliant man. He looked into the world religions, and he discovered, you know, without going to all of them right now, we don't have the time, that Christianity, intellectually, the Christian apologetics just stuck out like a sore thumb. It was just so far beyond the others. I mean, you take Siddhartha Gautama, for example, right? We could do all of them, but, you know, he didn't claim to even want to start a religion. He was a philosopher, and he said he was a philosopher, and that's all. Brilliant man and such. But it would be much later that his followers would make something out of him that he did not even intend, right? And we can look at Hinduism and so forth. Look at Muhammad, and you see in all of the world religions, there is nothing and no one that even comes close, says Dr. Anthony Flew, to the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what I would challenge you with, Todd, is to look at this individual who, yes, he fulfilled over 60 prophecies from the Old Testament that predicted things like where he'd be born, where he would be raised, you know, and so much more. What tribe he would come from, relatively when, very close to when he would come, and then things about his nature, his life, how he lived, even to the strong hints or allusions to his resurrection, to the miracles he would perform, and then of course when he came, he did all of that and more. He raised the dead. He healed, and not just Christians, you know, or those who saw him. Of course, there were no Christians when he was doing his. They were his early followers and such. But it wasn't just believers, but unbelievers and such. Historians who wrote about this man, whether it's Tacitus, Suetonius, Pliny the Younger, Josephus, Thallus the Samaritan. Historian writing in 50-something A.D. We've talked about this before, Si, on this broadcast. They all acknowledge that this man, even the Jews of the day, they acknowledge he did miracles, but they claimed he did it by the power of the devil, which is absurd because the devil can't perform miracles, and Jesus performed miracles. So you have all of this attestation to this person, Jesus Christ, the historical record. The fact that he raised the dead, fulfilled prophecy, prophesied himself, and he one of his great prophecies was he would establish the church. And the church, here we are, 2,000 years later, and we still exist as one Lord, one faith, one baptism in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Yes, we had, you know, the Orthodox who split away and the Protestants, and that's unfortunate. We're working on that right side to bring them back. But the point is, when you look at this person of Jesus Christ, he is extraordinary. There's no one like him. And the most extraordinary thing that he ever did was he proclaimed himself to be God and in many different ways, and then raised himself from the dead. And he prophesied, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And he did just that. And we could talk about that, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, and I agree wholeheartedly for my Catholic listeners, that's section 643 in the Catechism, that the resurrection is the single most provable event in all of antiquity. It can be understood as nothing more than an historical fact when you see believers, unbelievers, who acknowledge what they saw. He appeared to over 500 people. And brother, you know, I know I'm kind of going long on this, but the bottom line is all of what we're talking about revolves around the fact that God wanted to establish a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And that includes you, Todd. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, says John 3:16, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And he came unto his own, scripture says, his own didn't receive him, but all who received him, this is John chapter 1, verse 12, to them he gave power to become sons of God, to be incorporated into his very divine life, right? Become members of his body. That's the way St. Paul describes it. Empowered to experience the divine life that he had in our very lives. And that, my friend, is a personal relationship. And I know it sounds, oh my gosh, this is outrageous. We can have a relationship with God. Absolutely. That's the reason why he came, to deal with our sin and so that we can be incorporated into the divine life and experience a personal relationship with him. In a way, my friend, that even the ancient Jews could never have fathomed until he actually came. It's hinted at in the Old Testament, but we're talking what Jesus actually established in fulfillment of prophecy took it beyond anything even the ancient people could have imagined. And it's all about a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Todd, I want to send you a book that we have, if you'd like it. It's just it's called Answering Atheism. It's from our colleague Trent Horn. I'm very grateful that you got us started. You will understand that we invited people to call, and we've got to get to the rest of them as well, so I have to leave it there. But yes, if you'd like the Answering Atheism book, just give us an address. We'll send the book off to you, and maybe we'll talk again. I hope that we will talk again. I'm going to go next to Madison, Wisconsin, where Sam is watching on YouTube. Welcome, Sam.
Yes.
Sam, why aren't you a Christian?
You know, I would categorize myself as an agnostic who really, a couple years ago, really started to want to believe in Christianity.
Okay.
And so I started just kind of reading apologetics nonstop and watching all these debates. I was looking up something about Trent Horn earlier, and then somebody commented about Tim Staples, and I was like, I haven't heard of Tim Staples. So I searched him, and this was the first thing that popped up. So I think for me, you know, I can read things like the Five Proofs of God by Ed Fesser and watch these kind of philosophical debates, and I always come away from it kind of thinking everybody has made a good point and not really knowing where to land.
Right.
But then when it comes to Christianity specifically,
right,
and it comes to the historicity of the resurrection, I think it's in my head when I read all about it and I read kind of the apologetics and the more like secular scholars' takes on it, I always come away feeling like it's more likely that it was sort of legends that were created after the fact. And, you know, I hear people talk about how much evidence there is for it, but I always come away more thinking that we have a lot of evidence about what a few people believed at a certain point in time.
Let's let Sam, I'm gonna let Tim respond a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, I really appreciate what you're saying, because that was a lot, what you just said was a lot of what I was thinking in my teen years as well. I mean, come on, you're believing these few people. But Sam, you know, when I did the investigative work on that many years ago, and I've read about a lot of people a lot smarter than I am who have done the investigative work as well, I think that we're not just talking about a few people here that came up with this just crazy idea, but we're talking about you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of this person, Jesus Christ, the apostles, and St. Paul, the one, as he said, born out of due season, who was an antichrist. I mean, he was persecuting Christians and such, schooled in the school of Gamaliel in Israel, who hated Christians, wanted to literally kill Christians. And when we look at the stories of the 12 apostles themselves, or the 11 minus Judas, but we could include Judas as well, these were guys who walked with him, talked with him, knew him, believed in him, and then they were devastated by the fact that he was crucified. They lost hope. They literally, as Matthew 27:56 said, they all fled. Their hopes were crushed, right? So you have the 12 apostles, if we include the later Matthias, but and St. Paul. These were people who did not believe that the 11 were just devastated and such because he was gone. He died, and they fled. They didn't know what in the world to do. But it was the resurrection. It was what they saw. And St. Paul, the enemy of Christianity, it was what they saw that changed their lives. And these guys went from being absolutely disillusioned, fleeing for their lives, Peter denying him three times, to all of them willing to die. And in fact, 11 out of the 12 apostles were martyred for the faith. They went to their deaths. You know, if these guys concocted a story, you just generally, you can't get three or four people to hold a story straight for very long. But when the rubber meets the road and it's crucifixion time, or arrows being driven through your body, or being tortured to death, there's, folks will usually have a come to Jesus moment, in the sense
come away from Jesus moment.
So the point being that the evidence is quite extraordinary just on that level, looking at those who encountered Jesus, then lost faith in him. What was it that transformed them into becoming all martyrs? Was this a lie? People just don't do that for a lie. Did they know that Jesus was phony and they concocted a lie? That just doesn't seem to fit the scenario, right? And then beyond that, you have the testimonies of the miracles that occurred, the healings, the supernatural component, both in Jesus' life and in the apostles. And for me, brother, 2,000 years, one of the most powerful things, Cy Kellett, Jesus said was in Mark chapter 16, in verse 17, Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover," and so forth. And for 2,000 years, I challenge all of my atheist friends, agnostic friends, take a look, be skeptical, but take a look at the testimony of the miracles that have happened for 2,000 years in the church. Just the canonizations. We've had thousands of them. And each one of them have documented miracles, Cy Kellett. These are all registered. We have miracles like in Lourdes. I've been there. I've gone to Lourdes, France, and done a little investigative work. I was able to sit down with the fellow who is the director of the International Medical Bureau of Lourdes. His name is Dr. Franciscus. And we have documented there thousands of miracles, but 72 in particular that are of extraordinary. I mean, we're talking about, and I've seen the pictures, my friend, of two of my favorites. It was August 21st and August 22nd of 1892. You had two, they were both named Marie, but from different areas of France, who came, and they were both dying of the same disease of tuberculosis. And they were in the final stages back when there was no cure or no help for them. And the one, her name was Marie Lemarchand, and the other, Marie Lebranchu. One, Marie LeBranchu had wasted away down to about 65 pounds, and she was on death's door. Marie LeBranchu similarly was dying, and she was so emaciated she had holes. And I saw the photo of a hole in her face from the TB literally eating her skin from the inside out. And they say those who testified, and there were many, including one atheist who testified to seeing, there was a stench because of the rot of her skin. And both of these women on successive days were placed into the waters of Lourdes and healed instantaneous. And when you see the photo of Marie Lemarchon, I noted, even though it's grainy, it's 1892, you can see the mark where her skin, those who testified said her skin was of a pinkish hue and like a baby skin where it was healed. And Marie LeBranchu was healed instantaneous as well. She was 35 years old, lived a long life. Marie LeBranchu was 18 years old. She lived a long life, had something like 8 or 9 children, and she was on death's door. So I'm sorry for taking so much time on this, but what I challenge folks to do is to take a look at this from a wider perspective. You look at, yes, the testimonies of the apostles, the transformations of lives, the miracles, the fulfillment of prophecies, the prophecies of Jesus himself and such. But look at what happened after Jesus and the establishment of the church. I argue that the Roman Catholic Church is a miracle in and of itself. The fact that we've existed for 2,000 years as we have with one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and the fact that we have miracles such as the ones I've showed you. I'm not talking about folks on television saying, oh, my elbow was sore and now I'm healed, and there's no real physical evidence. But we're talking physical evidence of miracles that also demonstrate. As Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, verse 30, when he declared himself to be God, he said, I and the Father are one. And of course, the people there thinking he's crazy, he says, look, I know you're having a hard time believing that I'm God. But he says in verse 37 and 38, if you can't believe my words, believe for the sake of the works. Have you seen anybody raise the dead lately? Have you seen anybody open the eyes of the blind as you have seen me do? Well, that we have in the church in every generation for 2,000 years. So the proof continues in the church.
I got to take a break. I would like to send you a book. And if you would like it, Sam, as I said, there's other folks on the line. We invited them here, so I do want to get to them. Otherwise, I'd come back to you otherwise. But if you'd like the book, Why We're Catholic, I'll send it to you. Just give us an address and we'll send it off. And I hope that we will talk again. Sam, thank you for taking us up on our invitation. It was very gracious of you. We'll be right back with more Why Aren't You Christian on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
He was a bishop, theologian, monastic founder, and doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Basil the Great was a defender of orthodoxy against the Arian heresy in the 4th century, but one of his greatest legacies was to promote monastic life. With his friend, St. Gregory Nazianzus, he was declared a Doctor of the Church in 1568.
To find out more about the Doctors of the Church, visit EWTN.com and click on Catholicism.
Back, Catholic Answers Live. We really are grateful to those who have called and wanted to take time, the appropriate amount of time with each call, because we said today, call if you are not Christian and tell us why you're not Christian. And if we've invited people to do that and they have been gracious enough to call a Christian radio show, and we should take our time with them. And I hope we'll have some good time to talk with Amy in Chester, Virginia, watching on YouTube. Amy, welcome. Why aren't you a Christian?
Hello, Amy.
I'm a new Christian.
Oh, you are. Okay. Tell us about that.
I was an atheist for like 15 years, and my conversion is dramatic, but I still have trouble grasping why God cares about like each individual's life circumstance or each individual.
Yes.
But for me, it's like caring about every little grain of sand on the beach, right? Why do you care about like the intrinsic like little details about?
Yes.
Like a drop of sand, you know?
Yes.
So that's still like trouble.
Yeah. Well, Amy, you are not alone. There are millions of people who have huge trouble with that. But I think, Amy, the way we can grasp what is ultimately a mystery, because God is so infinitely beyond us, but really it's because of the fact that God is infinite being. He's absolute being. There's no imperfection in him. There's no lack in him. He is the uncaused cause, right? As St. Thomas says, the unmoved mover. He is absolute and infinite perfection and infinite being. There's a sense in which we can reasonably say that there's nothing that he can't not know about the created order that he himself created. It would be metaphysically impossible for God not to know each grain of sand on the beach, right? Because of the fact that he is infinite being. And the beautiful thing, Amy, about our faith is that Jesus is the demonstration of the love of God. When you look at Jesus and the fact that he knew as, what is it in Matthew chapter 2, I think it's verse 24 and 25, where it's, no, not Matthew, I think that's John's gospel. But the scripture says that Jesus did not need anyone to testify to him about what was in man. Why? Because he knew all men. When Jesus walked up to you in the streets of Jerusalem and he looked at you, or when he walked up to the Samaritan woman at the well, he knew everything that she was thinking. Remember, after he tells her about her five husbands, yeah, you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband, she was shocked. And after that encounter with Jesus, she went and exclaimed to all the Samaritans, he said, come and meet the man who told me everything about me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Jesus, even though he was the God-man, he was incarnate, he was a man walking around, he was also fully God. And he showed us a bit about how, yes, God knows what's in each one of us. He knows the fallen sparrow, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He knows everything about everything in the entire universe. Yes. Why? Because he is infinite being. It would be impossible. In fact, Amy, if there was something God didn't know, right? If he didn't know about that one grain of sand over there, he wouldn't be God. Because he would have a lack of some knowledge. And that would mean there's some lack in his being. And therefore, we would have to look for somebody else because that's not God. So on one level, Amy, even though God is mysterious in his nature, we cannot fully comprehend him, even a billion trillion years in heaven, we can see the reasonableness and we can understand that, yes, God does know every person, everything in the entire universe because he is God. And as a result of that, you can rest assured, Amy, that your life is in good hands when you place your life into the hands of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is both the God who created the universe and the man who walked this earth, suffered and died for your sins. That is the definition of good news, Amy.
Amy, I want to send you a copy of the book, Why We're Catholic. If you'd like it, just hang on the line and give us an address where we can send that. And I hope we'll get to talk with you again. I'm very, very grateful to our callers. One caller we did not get to. I apologize for that. But what a great thing to call and let us talk about the Christian faith with you. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.